from KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth Denton. This is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. The show's on vacation today, but we've prepared a special archive for you from this summer to help get your weekend started. In August, we pondered the name of the new Hawaiian island forming below the surface of the Pacific. We learned of a source for delicious Polish pastries in the DFW area. We found out where to get your kitchen knives professionally sharpened, and we discussed the purpose of the Adam's apple. We'll get answers to these and many other questions on this special archive edition of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. It starts after the news from National Public Radio. From KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth Denton, this is a special archive edition of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. You can call us with your questions and answers this hour. You can also email us. The email address is anything@kera.org. And that's where we got this from David in East Dallas, who asks, does anyone know if there's a boatyard in the DFW area? This would be, he writes, the same as an automotive junkyard except with boats. He writes, I'm looking for parts for my vintage boat, and I know these exist, just not sure if around here. 800-933-5372. Michelle in Fort Worth is looking for a basketball team. I think I said baseball team in the billboard. It's a basketball team for her 9-year-old son to join in Fort Worth. Does anyone have a suggestion? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org. Kenneth writes, diesel fuel has always been relatively expensive in this country compared to gasoline, but recently it's dropped to levels more commonly seen in other countries where it's typically cheaper than regular, and he wants to know, why is that? 800-933-5372. Mitch in Dallas asks, what is the name of the Hawaiian island that's developing in the Pacific Ocean? And I think he's talking about the little volcano that's, I guess if you look at it on the map, in my mind, it's sort of southeast of the Big Island, because as the Pacific Plate moves to the northwest, it's formed those islands. So there's one forming, if I'm correct, to the south and east of the Big Island, and I think it's already named. Does anyone know the name? Call us, 800-933-5372. Jerry has written us to anything@kera.org. He says, in the 40s and 50s, there was a large illuminated billboard across from Fair Park with an electrical box on one of the supports. There was a sign on the box that read, quote, air raid cutoff or blackout cutoff. He says, this was on the bus route from my parents' home to downtown, so I passed it 1,000 times, and I'm sure it existed, although the billboard was removed decades ago. My question is, Jerry writes, were there World War II air raid and blackout plans for Dallas? And if so, where did they expect the planes to come from? And he says, by extension, and even more absurd, were there plans for Omaha, Sioux City, etc.? Well, that's why we do the show. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org. We'll get started with Betsy in Farmers Branch. Hello, Betsy.
Hello. I have an answer to the boatyard question, a little convoluted. Mm-hmm. But there is one. If you go north on 35, as you go over Lake Louisville, and then under, like, the first underpass, mm-hmm. there's an exit with, like, a roadie's place where you can get beer and bait. And if you take a right down that street, there is a boatyard on the right. In fact, there's two of them there.
Very good. Betsy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, it's always open. It's anything@kera.org. Let's talk next to Allison in Dallas. Hello, Allison.
Hey, I wanted to find out, why is a dime smaller than a penny and a nickel? And why are there ridges on dimes and quarters, but pennies and nickels are flat or smooth?
Right. We've had the answer about the ridges before. Back in the day, quarters and dimes are made out of more precious metal. So they'd put the ridges on there to keep people from shaving the edges off of the coin and collecting the silver or whatever it was that it was made out of. That's the answer we've had on the show.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the size is concerned, that's a new question. And
mm-hmm.
and okay. You've asked, so hopefully
okay.
we'll get an answer.
Can I ask one more thing?
You bet.
my boys want to know what is, or if there is a purpose of the Adam's apple.
All right. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Line open 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at KERA.org. Bill in Dallas is currently reading, he writes, a collection of essays on astronomy by Isaac Asimov, in which he postulates that we could protect our planet from an asteroid strike by blowing it up in space with a nuclear bomb. He says he wrote this before we had become generally aware of the effects of radioactive fallout from testing such weapons here on Earth. Bill asks, would the fallout from exploding a nuclear bomb in space beyond the Earth's atmosphere be potentially more dangerous than doing so on Earth? If the radioactivity were to drift around the Earth and eventually descend into the atmosphere more evenly distributed because of the pull of gravity, he said certainly that situation would still be preferable to getting hit by the large asteroid. But still, one wonders, and we've asked. 800-933-5372. Up next is Mark in Dallas. Hello, Mark.
Yes, this is Mark.
Yes, go right ahead, Mark.
I have an answer for the fellow that looks for classic boat parts.
Mm-hmm.
There is a club in Dallas called the Wooden Boat Association, and it's not exclusive to wooden boats, but it also includes old classic boats, fiberglass styles. And we commiserate with each other, find parts together, find chances to run these old boats and figure out how to repair them. So if your caller was good enough to look at the internet and go to woodenboatassociation.com, a local group here, we'd welcome him and help commiserate and find parts and run boats. So that's what I had to tell you this morning.
Well, excellent. Thank you so much for calling.
Absolutely.
Line open 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Jerry in Garland has written us again. He says, I emailed you in July about a book I read in the 70s. Again, coincidentally, about an object that was predicted to hit Earth. He says, this object had the appearance of an eye. As the object approached, war stopped and people treated one another better. He says, I want to add the following to my description, see if it helps someone identify the book. He says, because your listener suggested two books. One was Lucifer's Hammer by Larry Niven. And the other one was The Eye of God by C.L. Grace. And Jerry says neither of which is the correct book, although I did obtain a copy of Lucifer's Hammer and enjoyed it. He says, here's the extra description. So the scientist that first located the object discovers something else but doesn't tell anyone, including people close to him. Unfortunately, someone close to him commits suicide as a result of this withholding of information. He says, it seemed like it was written prior to the 70s. He said, I thought it was called The Eye, but I haven't been able to find it. So hopefully someone will have another suggestion or two for Jerry. Roy in Fort Worth writes us and asks, what is the rather large earth-moving project nearing completion on the Trinity River levee in North Fort Worth, just west of I-35W and just north of Northside Drive? He says it almost looks like a massive man-made mountain, and it's huge. Well, call us, 800-933-5.
Please don't call now. The show has been pre-recorded.
Up next is Clayton in Richardson. Hello, Clayton.
Hi. I've got an answer for the diesel question.
Uh-huh.
The trucking industry is the main consumer of diesel fuel, and they're in a real bad place due to drop in demand, so they're not shipping as much, and that's reduced the demand for diesel.
Sounds good to me. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Renee writes, I noticed a lot of the large churches have police directing traffic after their Sunday services and wants to know who pays for this, the city or the church. Let's see. Trisha in Bedford is wondering if anyone knows of a Polish language class for adults in the Metroplex area. She says, I'm also looking for a bakery where I can get some Polish pastries. Call us, 800-933-5372. Let's see. Dee in Kennedale emails, we bought an old homestead, and the neighbor informed us that there is an irrigation well somewhere on the property, but we haven't been able to locate it. It must have been covered up. Does anyone know how to locate the well on our property? 800-933-5372 is where we find Sam in Dallas. Hello, Sam.
Hi, yeah, I had a question concerning iceberg melt.
Okay.
Basically, I know that ice is less dense than water. So if ice is less dense than water, then why would iceberg melt cause ocean levels to rise?
It's not iceberg melting. It's the glaciers melting.
Okay, I guess maybe a further explanation on that. I don't really fully understand
it. Well, the glaciers are on land. So if the glaciers all melt, and the glaciers turn into icebergs, when glaciers hit the ocean, they calve those giant. You've seen the footage of them calving the giant icebergs. So when the glaciers melt, that's what causes the sea levels to rise.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
You bet. Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Last week we had this question about light not being able to escape from a black hole and whether or not that meant that the black hole was somehow exceeding the gravitational force from the black hole was somehow exceeding the speed of light. And let's just say Dr. Mark, who works in space sciences, emailed us. Thank you, Mark. He says, I didn't get a chance to send this last Friday afternoon, but one of your callers wanted to know why, if nothing could move faster than light, why can't light get out of a black hole? In other words, does light travel at a different speed inside a black hole? And Mark says the answer is no. In a vacuum, light always travels at the speed of light everywhere in the universe, even inside black holes. He says what relativity tells us is that light always follows the curve of space. Here on Earth, space is so slightly curved that we can only measure it in highly precise experiments. So for all practical purposes, here, all the light beams follow straight lines. He says, but a black hole's gravity curves space drastically. The edge of a black hole is what we call an event horizon, the place where we stop being able to get any light or signal back out to the rest of the universe. Inside the event horizon, he writes, space is curved so much that there are no paths for light to follow that will let the light get back out past the event horizon. He says, if I'm inside the event horizon and shine a flashlight, no matter which way I point the flashlight, the light beams will always just turn around and travel at the speed of light away from the event horizon and toward the center of the black hole. He says, thus, there is no way for anyone outside of the event horizon in the rest of the universe to ever see the signal from my flashlight. Well, we also got answers on this from Chris in Minneapolis and James, looks like writing from McKinney. So thank you so much for answering that question. And let's get an answer now from Ron in Arlington. Hello, Ron.
Hi. I had an answer to the question about the island southeast of the big island of Hawaii.
Yeah.
And that little seamount, it's called Lo'ihi. And you can learn about it at the Hawaii Volcano Observatory website, I believe. I'm pretty sure you can read about it there.
And it's just it's not breaking the surface of the ocean or anything yet. It's still a underwater volcano.
Oh, right. And it's in the tens of thousands, 100,000 years from being on the surface.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for calling with the answer, Ron.
Enjoy the show. Thank you.
You bet. Bye. Line open 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Laura in Dallas wants to know, what is the song or artist for the music that's played between programs sometimes in the evenings? So it's a sad-sounding trumpet solo played over a repeating sequence of vibraphone notes. I think it's a Miles Davis piece in our sequencer here. Laura, I'll try to, at the break here in a minute, we'll see if we can find it and get an answer for you. Amanda in Fort Worth has a purse with leather piping that is split in places and wants to know if it's possible to repair it. And let's see, Misty in Dallas has a question about SWAT damage. She writes, who is responsible for damage to homes when the SWAT team breaks into a house? She says, I've been watching Dallas SWAT, the TV show, and sometimes the target of a SWAT operation is in a friend's house, their parents' house, or a rental. Does the city pay for that damage? Who is responsible? 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Ken in Plano. Hello, Ken.
Please don't call now. The show has been pre-recorded.
And you look at the menu, and I'm curious to know how much of the menu is actually authentically Chinese. You know, all that fried stuff like General Chow, say, that's got to be American. You know, they're all thin over there, you know?
Right.
So I'm curious to know. And also related to that, a lot of them have like secret Chinese menus where they, you know, they're completely, if you don't read Chinese, you won't know what the cuisine is. So I'm curious to know if anybody has any thoughts on that. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you. The telephone number is 800-933-5372. The email address is anything at kera.org. If you can't get through on the phones, go ahead and send us your question or answer via email. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, you're listening to a special archive edition of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jeff Whittington. A couple of answers left over from last week. Sean in Rockwall responded to the question about Danny Faulkner, whatever happened to Danny Faulkner. And Sean says Danny's alive and well, living in Rockwall. Dan in Fort Worth responded to the question about newspaper editorials from last week's show. He says, I was a reporter for about 7 years before getting into TV. He says, editorials usually have to abide by the same standards, such as libel-free, based on facts, etc., that all other editorials do. Of course, typos would be corrected by most editorial editors, and they also have to follow all the guidelines for length. And this, I think the question was letters to the editor, but I think that's those are the rules as far as Dan has them. Jim says a company that services Macs in Denton County is Geek Innovations. I think that's a question from either last week or a couple weeks ago. Lou in Southlake says there's a great website for weird questions about why we are built the way we are called livescience.com. And this is an answer to the Adam's apple question. He says, and yes, we both males and females have Adam's apples, a chunk of bony cartilage that's wrapped around the larynx. He says, in grown men, they just stick out a lot more because of their larger voice boxes. It's also the reason that men have deeper voices. James confirms that about 30 miles southwest of the active volcano Kilauea on the Big Island of Hawaii, the newest island in the chain is Lo'ihi, L-O-I-H-I. It's forming the newest land on Earth. He says, I would call, but I'm at school as a geography teacher. Thank you, James. Lee in Alvarado says, the police officers directing traffic at churches, concerts, and any other private venue are working off duty and are paid by the church or the venue. 800-933-5372 is the telephone number. Up next is Christy in Red Oak.
Please don't call now.
Hi.
The show has been pre-recorded.
I have a partial answer to the question about World War II and potential attacks on American cities.
Okay.
If you were to go to Tampico, Mexico, and go into the Central Cathedral, the floor is a floor that's just a pattern of swastikas. And in the 30s, Hitler Germany was courting the Mexican government, the Mexican church, to make them an ally so that they could potentially launch attacks on the United States from Mexico. So as to if they were, there were specific plans about Dallas, Omaha, the studies, I don't know, but I do know that that was part of Hitler's master plan.
Very good. Well, thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Up next is Tina in Dallas. Hello, Tina.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah. My question is basically I'm looking for part-time work to do at home. I have four children, and I've been looking in the Internet, but it's really overwhelming. And it's very hard to find out which are the legitimate ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know if the Internet is too saturated or it's become to make an earning, to earn, you know, honest
okay.
way.
Well, we'll see if we get a couple of suggestions for you.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Line
You're
open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Althea confirms that, and this is from about.com, a new island has already begun to form about 15 miles off the southeast coast of the Big Island of Hawaii named Lo'ihi. And she says its seamount has already risen about 2 miles above the ocean floor and within 1 mile of the ocean surface. And according to this, in another 30 or 40,000 years, a new island will exist where the Big Island of Hawaii currently rests. 800-933-5372 is where we find John in Corsicana. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well.
I have an answer.
Okay.
For the young lady that's looking for that bakery, it's not in Dallas. It's about, I'm going to say about probably 30 miles south of Dallas is an authentic Polish bakery in Ennis, Texas on 45.
Very good. John, thanks so much for calling.
All right, thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Victor in Dallas is asking about a recent movie about a turnaround in world fortunes whereby Africa became richer than the Western world. Does anyone know the title of that movie? Kurt in Dallas is wondering where he can get his kitchen knives professionally sharpened in Dallas, preferably close to Lake Highlands, he says, but general Dallas vicinity will do. There used to be a knife store in the mall, but I don't think it's there anymore, and they would do it. That's a good question, Kurt. I'd like to know that myself. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at KERA.org. Damien in Dallas is next on the phones. Hello, Damien.
Hi. Just calling about, you know, at some point I have heard, I think within the past year or two, about a large urban forest. And from what I understood, whenever I heard about it, it was in Dallas, possibly somewhere around the Trinity, southeast of downtown, within viewing range, if you were to be atop one of the buildings in downtown, that was many acres, had hiking trails and such. And I have looked all over the internet and can't find it. I know there's a park southeast of downtown, Rochester Park, that has a pretty big lake area or pond area there, and then back behind it, across what looks to be some kind of a levee, is another big pond with an island in it that's kind of set far further back off the road. And according to maps, like Google Maps, it shows a large green area there to signify a large park, and it's wooded heavily there. But it simply does not look big enough to match the description of what I've heard. So
you're talking about the Great Trinity Forest.
Am I?
I believe so, yeah. I think that's what it's called. And hopefully, speaking of great, the greatness of Rollins Gilliland is listening. Maybe he'll email us some directions, or will give us a call and tell us and tell you how to get there.
Okay, great. Thank
All right.
You.
Thanks for calling, Damien. Line open, 800-933-5372.
Please don't call
email
now.
Anything
the show has been
pre-recorded. Let's talk next to Tom in Arlington. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, on the asteroid being deflected, Asimov was one of the first to propose using an A-bomb to do this, and NASA did eventually work that out, and it was the working plan, preferably blowing it up, you know, before it got closer than the moon, where the radiation would have been insignificant. But what that leaves is a lot of other little rocks that could still hit us. So the current plan is a little bit simpler. With the space telescopes and supercomputers, we can track asteroids now that are years away. I mean, 5 years before it gets within 10,000 miles, we can track it. So they send a little probe to just nudge it.
Yeah, with a little motor on it, right?
Exactly. Just send a little rocket, an unmanned rocket with a chemical thruster, and hit it 3 years before it gets to us. If you just move it a tenth of a degree, then it misses us by, you know, 10,000 miles. And they do track these, and there's one that will come pretty close within 3 or 4 years, but they don't think it's going to be close enough to merit anything like that.
Now, am I wrong, but doesn't it occasionally one of these giants sneak past our defenses and surprise everybody by coming really close?
Well, obviously, one of them, we're almost sure that we've been hit several times by asteroids, but that was long before, you know, men could travel in space. So the problem was before, when the asteroid was coming a million years ago, we couldn't hit it. I mean, big meteors do impact the Earth, but the kind that would cause a planet-wide catastrophe, like that maybe wiped out the dinosaurs, that something that large would, with our current technology, would be hard to miss. I wouldn't say it was impossible, but it would be extremely difficult to miss this. And with, again, the supercomputers and space telescopes, they can find planets now at the, you know, far away in the galaxy. So tracking asteroids, there's a huge thing at Space Command at NORAD, run by the Air Force, also NASA. They track probably a million objects, and probably 1,000 of those they track really, really closely. And there is one that's going to get close within about 3 or 4 years. It'll be about 10,000 miles away.
Right.
And that's not enough to...
The little probe you're describing, real quickly, Tom, because we've got a lot of people holding, but the little probe you're describing, they did a test, right? They crashed like a washing machine-sized thing into a comet not too long ago.
That's right.
To test this out.
Exactly. And, of course, comets are could be an even bigger problem. Mm-hmm. But, again, it's kind of like the trick is early detection.
Right.
If you find it far enough away, then you don't really have to do a whole lot. If you get to the point where you have to use an atomic bomb, you're pretty desperate. And it's not the atomic bomb isn't the problem outside the Earth's atmosphere, because we're kind of protected.
It's all the big house-sized chunks that become...
Exactly. Yeah.
They're still heading toward you.
But, you know, millions of dollars are spent watching this every year. And, you know, think, if you think about it, 50. And, yeah, one will eventually hit us. You know, it's just a matter of, is it going to be in 100 years or 1,000 years or 10 years?
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, always open, anything at KERA.org. Let's talk next to Elizabeth in Dallas. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi. I had a question in that I heard in the news and heard from several people that this month we were going to be able to see Mars as big as the moon, and I got an email that it was supposed to be last night, and this was supposed to be around midnight, and I never saw that, so I wanted to see what happened with that.
Okay. Well, we'll see if anybody has an answer for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. So we have, thanks to Justin Martin and Jeannie McScore, we have an answer to that question about the song, the trumpet solo over the vibes that's played in the evening. And it's called Chicago Underground Duo is the band and or the group. And the song's Red Gradations from the album Synesthesia. And I think we have a little bit queued up. Very good. Thanks, Jeannie. It's Chicago Underground Duo. The song is Red Gradations, and the album is Synesthesia. 800-933-5372 is the telephone number. Anything at KERA.org is the email address. Armand in Mansfield wants to know if cooking fish reduces or eliminates the mercury in it, and if not, why not? Jim in Arlington writes that he's starting to see boxes all over Arlington with antennae of some sort, placed in parking lots, at schools, near intersections. They're about the size of a small cooler and have a cable running out of them. But the most noticeable feature are these thick antennae, he says, sticking straight up about 3 feet. He says, I've seen about 20 of them. Does anybody know what they are? And another question about police directing church traffic or private event traffic. Another question from Linda, is it legal for the churches or any private business or industry to actually redirect traffic from a normally open lane on a public street in order to allow traffic from their parking lot to have free access to that lane? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything at KERA.org. Up next is Tom in Dallas. Hello, Tom.
Question about water. We made a volleyball stanchion out of an old tire and concrete and a metal pole, and of course the water will never evaporate from the tires. Why won't water evaporate from old tires?
From the rubber or from inside the tire?
From inside the tire.
Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. 800-933-5372. Up next is Blair in Dallas. Hello, Blair.
Hi. I was wondering if anybody knows what the construction is for at the intersection of Inwood and Lovers, and most importantly, when it will be completed.
What can you describe it a little bit, just for those of us who aren't familiar?
Yeah, they seem to, well, it's been going on for weeks, if not a month or two, but they seem to tear it up every night and then put it back. But it looks like it strikes me as being some kind of water main construction, but it just seems like an extraordinarily long project that they're engaged in. So
okay,
wonder when they're going to repave it and be done with it.
Very good. Thanks for calling. We'll see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you.
We have an answer, at least a partial answer, from Nick in Dallas about bomb shelters. Let's see. He says, well, it's not a pure answer. It's not so ridiculous to say that Dallas and the Midwest needed bomb shelters. He says, during the Cold War, the Department of Defense placed thousands of missile silos all across the country. Many were right in the middle of fields. These were loaded with intercontinental ballistic missiles. And while they were done in secret, the Soviet Union discovered many of their locations and had missiles of their own aimed at these silos. Nick says this is why so many seemingly insignificant areas had bomb shelters. In fact, he says, Abilene, Texas was number 4 on the Soviet Union's hit list because of its air base. Chris says the book Jerry's looking for, Chris says, I think the book was called The Mote in God's Eye. M-O-T-E, The Mote in God's Eye. And, you know, that rings a bell. I think we got that answer as well. Joe says there's a fantastic Polish deli and bakery in Chicago named Polana, P-O-L-A-N-A. He says, I've ordered from them online at polana.com, and they deliver, he says, I think via UPS or FedEx. He says they have lots of Polish foods, desserts, and lots of other Polish gifts, and everything is available to order online. And let's see. Gorecki says, I'm sorry, Lucas says there is a Polish bakery and store at Forest and 75 and a shopping center behind a Chevron in Dallas. He says, I believe it's called Euromart. There's also a Polish church in Dallas, Lucas says. Thank you so much for those answers. 800-933-5372 is the telephone number.
Please don't call now. The show has been pre-recorded.
Dallas. Hello, Felipe.
Hello. It's thank you for my call.
Sure, you bet.
I have a question and an answer. I don't know which one you want first.
Just whichever. Give us the question first.
Okay, the question first is, I own an interior design firm specializing in custom home theaters, and I'm trying to figure out which is the best way to reach the ultimate client, which is the homeowner, whether it's through the architects, builders, contractors, or other designers, or audiovisual companies. That's the question. And the answer is for the sharpening services for knives. There is one place on Beltline near to Columbia Club where the Halliburton Company is. There's a big sign there is a sharpening. And there is another one on the Willow Bend Mall, which is a small store there that sells also cigars and knives.
Okay.
They still service that.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for calling. We'll see if we get a suggestion for you on the marketing question.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Let's see. Janet in Dallas says the Joanne Fabric Store at the southwest corner of Abrams and Mockingbird in Dallas has a person called the Scissor Man on the first Monday of each month. He sharpens knives and scissors for reasonable prices, starting about $5 per item. She says the work is done in a van outside the store and then left at the front register inside the store. You can drop off things to be sharpened and payment in advance with the store employees. Amber in Dallas says Sir La Table at Knox and Travis sharpens knives for $1 per inch. You have to drop them off, but they usually take one day or less. And Amber says they do an excellent job. Lou has confirms the Willow Bend Mall answer. Lou says in Willow Bend Mall, there's a really great guy who sharpens not only my knives, but the knives of many chefs in the Dallas area. The shop is across from Forever 21 and is called Cutlery Collection. And Kathy says Vierga Knife Sales on Gaston and Malcolm X sharpens knives, and most fabric stores like Joann's also have designated days when the sharpener will be available. Call us with your questions and answers, 800-933-5372, or email us anything at kera.org. We'll be right back. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington, and up next on the phones with one more answer on knife sharpening is JP in Dallas. Hello, JP.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
A good kept secret among chefs is a place called Vega. I believe that's how they pronounce it. It's V-E-I-G-A. It's on Gaston, kind of near the Baylor Dental College, and they use whetstones. Some of the sharpeners that will just use dry belts and stuff like that can damage steel because it gets it too hot. Certain types of steel, anyway. So these guys are old school professionals, and it's a great place to go.
Okay,
they know what they're doing.
Great. Well, thanks very much for the suggestion.
Hey, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. Line open 800-933-5372. Up next is Richard calling from Dallas. Hello, Richard.
Hi there. I have an answer. I believe it's the answer. I hope I'm not wrong. About the lady who called about the late night trumpet and vibraphone that plays on KERA.
Yeah, I think we just played a little bit of it a minute ago.
Yeah, I believe I haven't heard it in a while, but if I'm remembering what she's talking about correctly, I have heard it before. I think on KERA. It sounds like it does sound like Miles Davis.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like it's from Sketches of Spain, which is an absolutely beautiful album.
I thought so too, and I'm a fan of that record too, and that's why I said Miles. But we played a little bit of it a minute ago, Richard, and according to the person who loaded it into the system here and uses it regularly, Justin Martin, it's Chicago Underground Duo.
Oh wow!
And the song is called Red Gradations, and the album is Synesthesia. Now, that doesn't mean it's not maybe sampled or something, but...
Yeah, who knows? But
yeah.
Still, it's still... They should get that album.
It is a great tune, and I concur. Sketches of Spain is awesome.
And I do have a quick question that I thought of while on hold. It has to do with car exhaust.
Okay.
Whenever I'm driving and there's a car in front of me that has really bad black smoke coming out of their tailpipe and just makes my car smell, I was just curious, if a police officer sees that, are they able to pull them over and give them a ticket for that? Is that considered pollution, or does that mean if the car tried to get an inspection, it wouldn't pass inspection and that car is just avoiding inspection or what? Because I see it a lot in Dallas, and I was just curious.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Up next is Casey in Dallas. Hello, Casey.
Yes, hi. I was answering a question about where the Great Trinity Forest is located.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've got a little insight for you. Basically, it's all in the southeast part of Dallas, south of I-30. The northernmost section is near the intersections of Jim Miller and Syene.
Uh-huh.
That's in southeast Dallas. And up there, you're on some escarpment ridges and stuff, so there's some high points, and you can see southeast all the way to Cedar Hill. You can see the VA hospital from some of the high points up there, but it goes all the way to, it's almost a good 7,000 acres of city-owned property. But you can go all the way to, let's say if you're driving down 45, if anybody's ever driven south on 45, you get to where you cross I-20, you see all those trees. That's the Great Trinity Forest.
Okay.
You cross over the Trinity River, and, you can look back northwest to see downtown, and you have to look over a sea of trees. That is all the Great Trinity Forest.
Where is your favorite access point or trail?
The access point that we've used, I'm with Groundwork Dallas, and that is an organization that is building trails in the Great Trinity Forest. In fact, the dark green line will go through a section of the northern area, and you can actually exit. So if you get off the Lawnview Station, that'll be the Great Trinity Forest Station. There's going to be some trails and a good access point. But right now, I tell people if they want to go hike is to go to Golf Course.
Okay, say that again. You broke up there.
Go to the Grover Keaton Golf Course on Jim Miller. That's a city-owned municipal golf course. And there's some good access points. There's some Eagle Scout kiosks that Eagle Scouts have built for us, and they've got maps and stuff like that. That's a good access point. There's a parking area. The clubhouse is there, so you can get food and drinks and stuff like that. So that's always a good place for visitors to go and find some of the trails and go hiking on.
And tell me the name of the organization you're with again.
It's called Groundwork Dallas. And people can go to our website and look at maps and stuff like that at groundworkdallas.org.
Groundworkdallas.org. Well, Casey, thanks so much for calling.
Sure, no problem.
Have a great day.
Great, you too.
Line open, 800-933-5372, and that is where we find Karen in Richardson. Hello, Karen.
Hi. I had a question about two related questions about space shuttle.
Yes.
Launch. And the first question is, when the space shuttle is launched, there are three engines of the space shuttle and then two solid rocket boosters. And there are, the connected between the connection between those two is through three points, and they seem like pretty flimsy points. I mean, considering the amount of force that is needed to lift up the space shuttle. So I don't understand. I'm sure there's a reason for it, but those three connections between the I think that's an external fuel tank and the space shuttle, are they obviously there enough and they're pretty strong, but how does it work? I don't understand. I mean, I would think that they would just break off with the force. So that's one question.
Okay.
The second question is that if one of the three engines of the space shuttle was to go off once the solid rocket boosters have ignited, because the solid rocket boosters cannot be turned off when they're on.
Right.
So if one of the three engines of the space shuttle dies, the solid rocket boosters will continue to burn, and they would flip the space shuttle. And I know there must be some checks and balances for that, but I just need to understand how does that work, in case of a failure like that.
I would guess that there's someone, and someone will give us an answer, if not today, next week. But I would guess that there's some sort of safety release. They're the best and brightest minds in the aerospace industry are watching this thing every second. And there's got to be a way for them to pop those solid rocket boosters off in case of a malfunction, and the shuttle would be released from them. Now, getting out of the shuttle is another story. But I know that they've got a plan, especially after the Challenger disaster. in the 80s, but someone will have to call us or email us with the details. And hopefully, if not today, we'll get an answer next week.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it. All right, take care. Bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Ed in Arlington says the boxes with antenna scattered around Arlington are part of an urban gas drilling operation. He says they're used in planning the hydraulic fracturing operations that will be done underground. He said sonic thumper trucks will soon be traipsing about the vicinity of the boxes, dropping large steel plates to the surface and delivering ever so pleasant high frequency but very audible and palpable vibrations thereunder. He says the boxes contain radio telemetry gear that relays the degree of vibrations the boxes receive to a central location, and that central location makes sense of it all. He says the long rods on top of the boxes are radio antennae. Let's see, an answer on Chinese food. This is from Luke in Plano, who says, there is no sesame chicken nor General Tso chicken in Asia, Taiwan, China, Hong Kong, etc. They are invented in the U.S. He says also beef broccoli is American too, though most Chinese restaurants have all of them. He says the rule of thumb to pick real Chinese restaurants are, he says there are three, no Chinese takeout. Try not to go with names like Chef Chang or P.F. Chen or anything like that. He says these kinds of places are the kind of places that use those kinds of names. He says, and go with Chinese people if you want to go to authentic Chinese food restaurants. Linda says the Mars email is a case of an email message that won't die. Mars was very close to the Earth in 2003, though not quite as large as the email states. If the email were still true, we'd have seen a rerun of the spectacular event every summer since, but it's not, and the message should be retired. Dina says Snopes.com debunks the Mars email. It was actually visible in August 2003. Paul in Dallas says the Audubon Trinity Forest Center is on Loop 12, about 1.5 to 2 miles east of I-45. It's between U.S. 175 and I-45 on the south side of the road. So again, on Loop 12, about 1.5 to 2 miles east of I-45, between Highway 175 and Interstate 45 on the south side of the road. And I bet if you search for Audubon Trinity Forest or something like that, you'll find it. 800-933-5372 is where we find a very patient Aaron in Denton. Hello, Aaron. Thanks for hanging in there.
Hi. My question is in regard to free speech at public universities.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is it or is it not unconstitutional for these institutions to stipulate or designate certain areas for freedom of speech when the Constitution doesn't limit freedom of speech to certain areas?
And you're talking about public universities. Okay, well, we'll see if we get an opinion for you. We've got about 6 minutes left today, so you might have to tune in next week to see if we get an answer for you.
Sure, thanks so much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Up next is Andy in Fort Worth. Hello, Andy.
Hello, how are you?
Doing fine.
Good. My question is referring to the Texas State Aquifer,
mm-hmm.
or also known as Spring Lake in San Marcos, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of controversy whether or not this can and or will dry up. You know, the aquifer supplies a lot of people in Texas, obviously, with water. But we're in one of the largest droughts we've ever been in. Does anyone out there know if this thing has a possibility of drying up?
Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Let's see. John in Dallas emailed us and says, Google Dallas County Parks and Open Spaces, and you will find the 17-plus preserve areas that are owned by the county. He says these are not parks, but were purchased with the intention of keeping some of Dallas wild. He says several of the parks are several hundred acres, some on the Trinity. They offer great hiking trails. He says, I suggest the caller try the Goat Island Preserve, which has great trails along the Trinity. Thank you very much, John. 800-933-5372. Up next is Amy in Garland. Hello, Amy. Are you there, Amy?
Yes, hi. My question was, I was driving down Royal Lane on my way towards 635 the other day, and I saw four fighter jets. I was wondering if anybody knew what they were doing there. They were just flying along going, I guess, eastbound.
What day was it?
It was on Wednesday around 11:15. It was either Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember.
Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you in the remaining time we have or next week.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. 800-933-5372. Up next is Jackie in Dallas. Hello, Jackie.
Hey,
I've got a answer for the gentleman with the theater, the home theater marketing.
Yeah.
Whenever you're building a house, I work for a lighting designer, and everything goes through the architect. If it's a new home that's going to be high-end enough to have a home theater, he needs to start marketing directly to the architect.
Very good.
And also on the Trinity Forest, there's an entrance right off of Syene and Nutting, and it's a trail. It's about one block west of Syene and Jim Miller, and it's on the south side of the road. You just pull over, and there's a nice trail that enters right there. I'll take my kids down there quite a bit.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Right. You're welcome. Bye.
800-933-5372. Time for a couple more calls. Let's talk to Patrick in Coppell. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, guys. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well.
Heard the question about the solid rocket boosters on the shuttle.
Yeah.
Those are electromechanically operated to release.
Okay.
But really the reason for my call was I want to encourage everybody to go to nasa.gov and look for... You have to navigate through it. Look for human spaceflight and sightings by city. A lot of people don't know that you can actually see the space station and or the shuttle. Looks like a big star crossing the sky. And you can plug in any city. Just click on your city, in my case, Coppell, and you can go out and actually see that craft about 200 miles up, traveling about 19,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's really bright, too.
And it's bright.
Yeah.
And perhaps you've done it. Sounds like you have. But
I've just lucked out. I've just lucked out, honestly. It was way too big to be a satellite and just made the guess.
Well, it looks like a big star.
Yeah,
But when you consider the fact that it's traveling at 19,000 miles an hour and sometimes there's 10 people up there and it's 200 miles up, it's very intriguing.
Well, Patrick, thanks very much for calling.
And one other thing, I have a Verizon Fios, and they still don't have the NASA channel. Dish TV has it, DirecTV has it, but for some reason Verizon doesn't have it, and I am lobbying to get it.
Well, good luck with that.
Help me out.
All right. Thanks for calling, Patrick.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's see. I think there's time for at least one more call from Craig in Justin. Hello, Craig.
Yes, this is Craig.
Yes, Craig. Go right ahead.
I'm an aircraft engineer. My company does the specialized testing for NASA on those. They're actually explosive separation bolts for the space shuttle. There's the top one is about 400 pounds, and it's hollow and full of explosives. The bottom ones are about 200 pounds apiece, and they're timed to sequentially go off to blow the solids about 215,000 feet when it goes through max Q. So they're hollow, they're full of explosives, and there's over 200 different pyrotechnic devices on the space shuttle that are timed to sequence certain critical events.
And they can use them early if they have to, I guess.
That's correct. The computer has built in an abort mechanism, plus there's a manual override on board in the cabin deck of the shuttle.
Craig, thanks so much for calling.
Bye.
Anything You Ever Wanted to Know is produced by yours truly. Jeannie Mascoro runs the board. Thank you, Jeannie. Fiona Norton answers the phones. Thank you, Fiona. And today we had lots of help from our intern, Alicia Melke. Thank you for your help, Alicia. You can download episodes of the show, KERA.org, and you can sign up for the free weekly podcast while you're there. And, of course, send us your questions and answers, comments, and suggestions. The email address, you know it. It's anything@KERA.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thank you so much for listening and for calling and writing in. And have a fantastic weekend.